Daniel chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And by the way, this is not the easiest section in the scriptures, and we understand that, but we don't shy away from it just because it's not the easiest. We're in the process of looking at Daniel's prophecies concerning Israel. Now, these are actually prophecies that are given by an angel. In Daniel 10, 12 through 13, we see Daniel's final vision concerning Israel. In this continuing narrative, we've already seen Daniel's vision in 10, 1 through 9. Daniel's strengthening in Daniel 10, 10 through 11, 1. We've also seen prophecies concerning the nations as these nations relate to Israel. There's the prophecy concerning Persia, the prophecy concerning Greece, the prophecy concerning Egypt and Syria, the prophecy concerning Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, and the prophecy concerning the Antichrist. As we continue studying Daniel's final vision, that's the final vision given to Daniel, we see prophecies concerning Israel in Daniel 12, 1 through 13. What will happen to Israel in the future? Whatever will happen will all be within the will of God. In verses 1 through 3, we see that Israel will be delivered. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time, thy people, you get that? Thy people, that's Israel, not the church, shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. We begin with Daniel 12, 1, which says, and at that time. What time? It's at the time of the events of Daniel 11, 36 through 45, or we could say, at the time of the great tribulation, that's the last half of the seven-year tribulation, which we looked at in our last message on Daniel. At that time shall Michael is the archangel, Michael will stand up, meaning Michael will arise. Michael is described as the great prince which standeth for, and it means who stands watch over or who stands guard over the children of thy people being the children of Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble. There will be a time of distress, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. A time of distress like none the world has ever seen. Now, you know that's going to be bad because the world has seen some awful times. Those people who mistakenly blend Israel with the church will regard thy people in this passage as teaching that the church will go through at least part of the tribulation. Some teach that it will happen in the middle of the tribulation. Some teach that it will happen at the end of the tribulation. But this is their problem theologically. They are blending Israel and the church, which should not be done. We believe that they are in error. We believe that the rapture of the church will occur before the tribulation begins. The church and Israel should be kept separate and distinct in your thinking. When somebody holds to a mid or post-tribulation position, he is in some way blending passages which separate or distinguish between Israel and the church. Thy people refers to Daniel's people, meaning to Israel. Thy people does not refer to the church. Note Jesus' words in Matthew 24, 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And of course, it's speaking of the great tribulation. At this time, Satan will attempt to kill every Jew. Note Revelation 12, 13 through 17. And when the dragon, meaning Satan, saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, that's Israel, which brought forth the man-child, that's Christ. And to the woman, to Israel, were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness in her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. We'll see that that is for 42 months or for 3.5 years from the face of the serpent, meaning from the face of Satan. And the serpent, meaning Satan, shall cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, meaning after Israelite, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. But if you know anything about the terrain of that area, you'll know that the terrain is not conducive to a flood of water. You know, maybe a little local one, but not a widespread one, which suggests that the flood is symbolic of invading armies seeking to destroy Israel. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon, meaning Satan, cast out of his mouth. Now, if this is symbolic of invading armies seeking to destroy Israel, then verse 16 suggests that the earth may open up and swallow the soldiers, much as the earth opened up and swallowed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and their families. In any event, many will die because of the land itself. Although Satan will attempt to annihilate Israel, God will protect Israel from Satan's attempts. And the dragon, meaning Satan, was wroth. That means he was enraged with the woman here with Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, meaning with saved Jews, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, we'll go back to Daniel 12:1. And in the middle of it, it says, and at that time, thy people, that's Israel, shall be delivered, meaning all Israel will be delivered from their subjection to the Gentiles. It means that the times of the Gentiles, which began with the conquest of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, will end at that time. It's still the time of the Gentiles. Note Romans 11, 25 and 26. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That will end with the second coming of Christ. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Sion, or Zion, which is another name for Jerusalem, the deliverer, the one who saves, or the Savior, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, meaning from Israel. Daniel 12:1 continues, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. The book would seem to be the book of life, which is mentioned in Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Daniel 12:2 goes on, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, speaking of those Jews who have died, shall awake, meaning they will be raised from the dead, some to everlasting life, meaning some to eternal life with God, and some to shame and everlasting contempt, meaning some or the rest of them to the lake of fire. Although what is stated in verse 2, that many of them shall sleep in the dust of the earth, shall awake, is also true of all saved persons, verse 2 is predicting the bodily resurrection of all saved Jews in the Old Testament, as well as all saved Jews who died during the tribulation. This will occur at the second coming of Christ. Saved Gentiles who died during the tribulation will also be raised from the dead at the second coming of Christ, but they are not in view in Daniel 12:2. Daniel 12:2 concerns Daniel's people, that is, Israel. Believers of the church age, that's when we're alive, both Jews and Gentiles will have already been raised from the dead at the rapture, which will occur before the beginning of the tribulation. The resurrection of the wicked in this context, meaning of the unsaved Jews from the Old Testament, as well as of the unsaved Jews from the tribulation, will not occur until after the millennium, which means it's another 1,000 years after the second coming. Unsaved Gentiles will also be raised from the dead at the same time as the unsaved Jews, but unsaved Gentiles are not in view in this context of Daniel 12. This context is dealing with thy people, that is, Israel. And if somebody wants to argue with you that the church people will go through the tribulation, it's because they are blending scriptural passages dealing with Israel with scriptural passages dealing with the church. And if they could get that straightened out, they'd get their views of what's coming in the future straightened out. We read about this resurrection from the dead for the unsaved people, whether Jews or Gentiles, in Revelation 20, verse 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now here he's speaking of saved people. I made a mistake when I said what I did. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Somehow, these saved people are going to live and reign with Christ during the millennium. But the rest of the dead, the ones which had worshipped the beast, that's the Antichrist, and his image, and had received his mark, that's 666, upon their foreheads or in their hands, lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, the first resurrection has several stages. There's the first stage at the rapture. There's the first stage again with saved people at the second coming. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Speaking of the resurrection of believers in the church age and the resurrection of believers at the end of the tribulation. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. What are you and I going to be doing during the millennium? We don't know a lot about it, but this applies to us. We will reign with Christ 1,000 years in some capacity during the millennium. Now, the second death is described as being cast into the lake of fire. And we read about this in a familiar passage, Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. That's why you need the new heavens and the new earth starting in chapter 21. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Their works will demonstrate that they were never saved in the first place. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. What if they were eaten by fish, and those fish were eaten by other fish, and those fish were eaten by other fish? Doesn't make any difference. The sea will give up the dead which are in it. Death and hell. Now, hell is not Gehenna, the lake of fire. It is Hades. It is the place of the departed, unsaved dead. Delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell, meaning Hades, were cast into the lake of fire. Their works will demonstrate that they were never saved in the first place. Therefore, they had rejected Christ as their Savior. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. As we move on into verse number 3, and they that be wise is referring to Jews in the tribulation who are saved shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They will shine as the sun. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. God will never forget them. The wise are those Jews who will see through the Antichrist deception. They will refuse to worship him, and they will also lead others to the truth during the tribulation period. Moving on into verse number 4. In verse 4, we see the sealing of the book. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, meaning conceal the words, and seal the book. Keep intact the book. It does not mean that its meaning was to be left unexplained, but that the book was to be kept intact so as to help those living in the future tribulation days. Seal the book even to the time of the end. Daniel was to keep the book intact until the end of the days, until the end of the great tribulation. Many shall run to and fro. Many will run back and forth or run here and there as the end approaches. People will travel about seeking to discover what the future holds. And knowledge shall be increased as the time of the end draws nearer and nearer. Daniel's prophecies will become clearer and clearer. They are clearer today than they were in Daniel's day. And they will be still clearer during the tribulation than they are today. However, even though people in Daniel's day would not have fully understood these prophecies, they were assured by these prophecies that God will ultimately deliver Israel from their subjection to the Gentiles, and that God will bring the promises he made to Israel to fulfillment. Are you still with me? I sure hope so. We're going to wade in a little bit more in verses 5 through 13. Where we see questions regarding the great tribulation. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times, and an half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Sometimes we have to claim that same statement, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Well, let's wade through this and see what we can pick up for ourselves tonight. In verses 5 through 6, we see the angel's first question. The angel's question is, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two. They were apparently two angels in addition to the one who had been speaking with Daniel in chapters 10 through 12. The one on this side of the bank of the river, that's the Hiddekel, which we know as the Tigris River, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. So get the picture. One of these two angels was on each side of the river. Now, this was a big river. The river is identified in Daniel 4 as the great river Hiddekel, also known as the Tigris River. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, this is the place where Daniel's vision in chapters 10 through 12 is taking place. Verse 6, and one said to the man clothed in linen, one of the two angels spoke to the unnamed angel who has been speaking to Daniel in chapters 10 through 12. This angel was introduced in Daniel 10:5, which says, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. This same angel has been speaking to Daniel in chapters 10 through 12. So now you've got three angels, one on each side, and then the same one that's been speaking to Daniel. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. This is the angel clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river. This angel who had been speaking to Daniel in chapters 10 through 12 was above the waters of the Hiddekel, that's of the Tigris River. And another angel was on the near side, and another angel, a second angel, was on the far side. So three angels, one is above the river and one's on each side. The one on the near side, apparently, is the one who said, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? How long will it be before the astonishing things mentioned regarding the Antichrist in Daniel 11:36-45 will be brought to an end? Or we could say, how long will it be before the great tribulation will be over? And we need to take a deep breath and go on. In verse 7, we see the answer to the angel's first question. The angel's answer is time, times, and then half. Whatever that means, and we're about to show you what that means. And I, Daniel, heard the man clothed in linen. This is the unnamed angel mentioned in Daniel 10:5, who has been speaking to Daniel in chapters 10 through 12, which was upon, meaning who was above the waters of the river, who was above the Hiddekel or the Tigris River. When he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven and swear by him that liveth forever, they swore by God that it shall be for a time, times, and an half. Now, this is not a brand new expression to us. We saw the use of time or times meaning years in Daniel 4:16, 4:25, and 7:25. Daniel 4:16 said, let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. You'll remember that that meant 7 years. Daniel 4:25, that they shall drive thee, meaning you, Nebuchadnezzar, from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee. That's going to be saying to Nebuchadnezzar, it's going to last for 7 years, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And then in Daniel 7:25, and he, the Antichrist, shall speak great words against the Most High, meaning against the Most High God, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, meaning of the Most High God. He's going to persecute them and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. A time refers to 1 year, times to 2 years, and the dividing of time, or half a time, to 6 months. This is the same as 1260 days in Revelation 12:6, or 42 months in Revelation 11:2 and 13:5. Each month would have exactly 30 days. Revelation 12:6. And the woman, meaning Israel, fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. Revelation 12:14. And to the woman, meaning to Israel, were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent, meaning from Satan. Now, when you compare Romans 12, that should be Revelation. That's not right. I'm sorry. It's called a computer error. My computer did it, unfortunately. I'm the guy that wrote it. When you compare Revelation 12:6 and 12:14, we see that time and times and half a time in verse 14 is equal to 1,260 days, or to 1,260 days in verse 6. This is the clue needed to understand that time refers to 1 year, times refers to 2 years, and half a time to 6 months. Revelation 11:2, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. Well, that's 42 months, or 3.5 years. Revelation 13:5, and there was given unto him, meaning to the Antichrist, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him, meaning to the Antichrist, to continue 42 months, meaning 42 months, or 3.5 years. So we've got it from the scripture what time, times, and a half mean. 42 months, 3.5 years, or 1,260 days. They're all equivalent to each other. Going on in Daniel 12:7, and when he, meaning the Antichrist, shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, meaning of Israel, it means when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. It means that the great tribulation will be at an end. The events of the tribulation will be finished when the time, times, and then half, meaning the last 3.5 years of that 7-year period known as the tribulation, come to a close. These last 3.5 years constitute the great tribulation of Matthew 24:21. For there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of this world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Do you get the idea as you go through this that God is in control? Well, he certainly is, whether you got that idea or not. Though this final world ruler, meaning the Antichrist, will reign for 7 years, the first half of his reign will be a time of comparative peace for Israel. They will be enjoying the benefits of the covenant this king, meaning the Antichrist, will make with them. Israel will be a land of unwalled villages, a land in which people will be without walls and without gates and bars. But the Antichrist will break this covenant near the middle of the 70th week of years. Then the king of the south and the king of the north will invade Israel. After destroying these two armies, this Gentile king — I said Gentile king, if you think it's a Jewish king, you're welcome to think so. You may be right and I may be wrong, but if I thought so, I wouldn't have written Gentile here. This Gentile king, meaning the Antichrist, will move into Israel, occupy the land, and set up his political religious headquarters in Jerusalem. He will reign in Jerusalem as king and God and will become the greatest persecutor Israel has ever known. Israel's power will be broken by his ruthless power. Then at the end of the tribulation, all these things, meaning the events mentioned in Daniel 11:40-45, will be completed. In verse 8, we see Daniel's question. And I, Daniel, heard, but I, Daniel, understood not. Then said I, Daniel, O my Lord — a title of respect by which Daniel is addressing the unnamed angel. It's like our sir. What shall be the end of these things? You struggling to understand some of these things? Well, even Daniel did not understand all of these prophecies. That's all right. Keep studying. In verses 9 through 13, we see the answer to Daniel's question. And he, meaning the angel, said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed." It means they are kept intact and thus made available till the time of the end, until the end of the second half of the 70th seven, meaning until the end of the great tribulation. Verse 10, many shall be purified, meaning they'll be purified spiritually, and made white, and tried, meaning refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. The wicked are the unsaved. The ones who are purified are saved. The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. It means they will not understand the message of salvation, but will follow and worship the Antichrist. But the wise shall understand. And what the wise will understand is the message of salvation, meaning the truth about Christ and also the truth about the Antichrist. Verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away — this will happen in the middle of the 7-year tribulation. Remember Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined, meaning the end which is decreed by God, shall be poured upon the desolate, meaning shall be poured upon the Antichrist himself. The end decreed by God for the Antichrist is found in Revelation 19:20. And the beast, that's the Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now back to Daniel 12:11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, it speaks of the setting up of the image of the Antichrist in the temple. We read about this in Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. We read about it in Revelation 13:14-15. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, that's the false prophet, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Remember, the beast is speaking of all of the empires put together, one of which was the Roman Empire. That's the wound. The wounded, the one that was wounded and appeared to be dead, but now it's revived. It's the revived Roman Empire. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So if you were there, but you won't be because you're a saved person and you're leaving at the rapture, but if somebody's here and is unsaved, you might be there, and you'll have the privilege of worshiping the image of the beast, the Antichrist. And if you won't do it, you'll be killed. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. This is speaking of the day of the Lord, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Now, a great religious falling away, meaning apostasy, that's the Greek word too, by the way, and turning away from God will occur at the beginning of the tribulation era. There are some who mistakenly regard this falling away as the rapture. It is not the rapture. A great religious falling away or apostasy and turning away from God will occur at the beginning of the tribulation era. It hasn't happened yet. When the rapture occurs, who's left on the earth as far as people are concerned? Nothing but unbelievers. Will the so-called church continue? The world church will still go on. All these unsaved churches, they're not going at the rapture. They'll still be here going through the motions just like they are now. They won't know the difference. What this apostasy amounts to is worldwide unbelief. Were the Thessalonian believers in the tribulation now? No, the apostasy has not yet occurred. This is going to happen because all the believers will have been removed from the earth at the time of the rapture. If you're looking for this paragraph in your notes, forget it. I didn't get it in there because I wrote it after I submitted the notes to Alan for copying. When all the believers are removed, what does every one of those people who are not removed have in common with each other? They're all unbelievers. That's the only kind of people that enter the tribulation. Now, some of them will get saved in the tribulation. Some won't. Professing Christendom will still be here on the earth at the beginning of the tribulation because professing Christendom is comprised of unbelievers. It will continue to function normally just as it has for many years, but all genuinely saved people will be in heaven in the presence of the Lord. Those left behind at the rapture are apostates. Verse 12 continues, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate is set up, there shall be 1290 days. Why 1290 rather than 1260? I have no idea. And by the way, although some have suggested some ideas, nobody else knows either. There are some suggestions. Here's one: the 30 days will extend beyond the end of the tribulation, allowing for the judgment of Israel and the judgment of the nations. Where is that taught? It's not. It's somebody's idea. A second idea, the extra 30 days will be before the middle of the 70th seven of years when the ruler will set up the abomination that causes desolation. Where did he get that idea? Well, not from the scriptures. It's his thought. Might he be correct? Well, he might. We don't know. The 1290 days could begin with an announcement, meaning about the abomination, made 30 days before the abomination is introduced. Well, that's another idea. Is that the way it's going to be? We have no idea. These are all suggestions in an attempt to explain it, but nobody really knows why it's 1290 days rather than 1260 days. So my suggestion is, leave it alone. Don't worry about it. Okay, you aren't going to be here anyway. Verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. That's 75 days after the second coming of Christ. 1,335 days from the midpoint of the tribulation is called blessed. This seems to mark the beginning of the actual functioning of Christ's millennial kingdom, according to the Ryrie Study Bible. But we don't really know why these 75 days are stated. We're not told. Verse 13. But go thou, Daniel, you go. Go thy way till the end be. For thou, meaning you, Daniel, shall rest. You will rest in death and stand in thy lot at the end of the day. Daniel, you will be resurrected and receive your inheritance, meaning your lot, in the millennial kingdom. And all who trust in the Lord like Daniel will share in the blessings of the millennium. Now, we don't understand all of these things, but inasmuch as the prophecies which we have already seen have been fulfilled literally, we believe that the prophecies which are yet to be fulfilled will also be fulfilled literally. And that makes us pre-tribulation rapturists, those who want to take and make it into a mid or post-tribulation rapture, might believe in the literal interpretation of all scripture except prophecy. We believe it is including prophecy. We look forward to the rapture. We're thankful we're not going to go through the tribulation. It's time that we quit, so let's pray. Then we'll sing a song, and then we're going to go on and observe the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that we have this wonderful privilege of coming to thy house where we can study thy word. Help us to understand it. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross and paid for our sins and rose again from the dead. And thank you that we can understand that and many other things in the scriptures, even though we are still trying to figure out some things in the future. Bless these dear folks. Thank you for each one in Jesus' name. Amen.